Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would touch these lips of clay as we go into the Word, your Word, the only Word, in today's dispensation of grace. We pray that you would touch each person individually and collectively as we delve into your Word. And we pray, Father, that somebody's heart will be touched to spur them to see the goodness of your dispensation through the Apostle Paul of grace, whether in this building or on the internet or wherever. Touch each one in a mighty, mighty way. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I'd like to thank my friend and brother. The Bible says a friend should get closer to a brother than a brother. I have to remind my friend Howard Wilson, I've known for years, that all the time. And my friend George Elder Cutler. Amen. I don't have to remind him because he always knows. But I'd like for you to turn with me, please, to the book of Galatians. And we're going to go to the reader today is Deacon Gavin's, my reader today. And we're going to go to three sources of scriptures, Deacon. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Of course, very familiar passage of scripture. Read that from the King James, please.
We're reading from the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, King James Version. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ.
Okay, now Galatians chapter 2, verses 7 through 9.
Galatians chapter 2, verse 7 through 9, King James Version. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision.
Okay, and 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, please.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, again, King James Version. Of these things...
Hold just a minute, Dick. I think I got the wrong one. I think it's probably 1 Timothy. No. 2 Timothy, go ahead.
Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness.
Okay. Thank you, Dee. The text that we will look at today is, it is a fact that there are, that's what I'm talking to you today for a while. It is a fact that there are, in this great country this morning, that there are many messages being preached. They are, and they probably are not the grace message. There are denominational messages being preached today. There are messages from the law being preached. And, of course, there's kingdom law being preached, probably more than any other. And then, of course, there are some grace messages being preached. I suppose that many and most of these messages have salient points, that is, things that we can get out of them. However, are they endeavoring to say what the message that's relevant to today's dispensation? And that's what we have to look at, which is the only thing that's relevant for today's message is the message of the grace message, of the dispensation of grace. That's the only thing that's important for us today. And, of course, when we take a look at the grace message, and take a look and we'll see the difference between the grace message and the other gospels. The Apostle Paul, in this book of Galatians, has a tone in his voice that he comes right out of the gate, not with so much of a kind, beautiful, loving scenario. He comes out directly out, chastising and getting the people in Galatia straight because they had strayed from the original message that he had given them. And they received the message so wonderfully, but then they got thrown off. Kind of reminds you of raising children. You can give them all the salient points of being a good Christian and things that they know that they should do and the things that's good for them. And you can put a lot of time showing them the right thing to do. But then what will happen is that once they get out into the world, they can hear some knucklehead tell them things that's contrary to what you've told them. And what they'll do is they will take the things that they say and shove everything that you've given them into the background. That's what really happened in Galatia here. And we need to take a look at some of the facts. The facts of the difference between the grace message and the gospel message. Now, we know here that both Peter and Paul preached the good news. Yes, they did. But they had a different audience. Peter's message was to the circumcision. Paul's was to the heathen. Okay? Our message, which is from the Apostle Paul, is primarily based out of, it's the grace message. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, lets us know. Just take a look at that. First Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Apostle Paul states here that, moreover, I, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein ye stand, which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest ye have received, believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I received also, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas and the 12, and I'm sorry, in verse 4, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Peter's whole message and the 12 disciples that was left with Matthias replacing Judas Iscariot was a different message. That message was to speak to the nation of Israel that Jesus was their Messiah. And it was a different message. It was a totally different message. It was not the same message as the message of grace. It was a different message, and it was totally different. And when we look at the facts here, Jesus' resurrection was plainly told to his disciples that he would rise from the dead. But they did not. Well, Jesus' resurrection was plainly told to the disciples, but they did not know he would rise from the dead. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 through 22. Different messages. And what I'm trying to, as before we go through the scriptures today, I want you to have it in your mind this. Don't just say or look at a scripture and take it out of context. Take the scripture and then understand who is it speaking to, what are they saying, and how does it apply to us today. There are people who are sitting there today, and they are reading, and they are looking, and they are not contextualizing, they are not using the grammar or historical, and what they are doing is they are just taking it, and somebody just saying there and feeding it down their throat, and they are just gulping it up, and you have come out one confused person. When you study the Bible dispensationally, it cuts through and it cuts it straight. Who is speaking here? So Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 22. Let's 21 and 22. Let's take a look. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 22. Okay. Dick, read that in the King James, please.
We're reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, beginning verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to shew unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee.
Okay. Now go to the book of Luke, the 18th chapter and 33rd verse, please.
Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 33.
Well,
31. Then he took unto him the 12, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken.
John 20:9, please. St. John 20th chapter, verse 9.
John chapter 20, verse 9. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead.
10, please.
Then the disciples went away again unto their own home.
Doesn't tell you, but you know what they did after that? They went fishing. Don't you remember that? They went fishing. Amen. Now, the death and resurrection is essential to our gospel. Essential. When the disciples were speaking to the nation, well, we'll get to that a little bit later. But let's take a look here. Before the revelation to the Apostle Paul, the apostles of Jesus did not know that Christ's crucifixion was sacrificed for our sins. As Messiah to Israel, yes. But these things had not been revealed to them. It was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Okay? All right. In the book of Acts, Peter never mentions the sacrifice or propitiation of the blood of Jesus, and he never associates Christ's death for remission of sins. Not one time. Now, yes, it is true that later on, in the book of Peter, and I'll go to that later, and John, he does talks about the blood for that. But here he did not. Jesus was looked upon and given the message that he was the Messiah for Israel, and they were looking for the Messiah. And the Jewish people today are still looking for the Messiah. Every Jewish boy that's born, the oldest boy, they want to know if he's going to be the Messiah or not. That's what they were looking for. Okay? All of the other things that we will talk about a little bit later was given to the Apostle Paul. All right? So if you're preaching a kingdom message, you're not really preaching a grace message.
Right.
You're preaching you're in the wrong ballpark because you're not Jewish. You're heathen. You're not a Jew. You're a Gentile. So you're in the ballpark, wrong ballpark, trying to get the wrong message that doesn't apply to you. Okay? It's for the Jews. Okay. Paul was, now, our gospel, we're saved, it was a mystery. It's the mystery that was given to the Apostle Paul. And we're going to take a look here at, it was not known to man or any man. The first thing we want to take a look at is Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. Confirmation. But no, I think what we'll do is go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8.
We're reading
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Deke, we can read that for me.
We're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, King James Version. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
A mystery. Go ahead.
Even the hidden wisdom.
Amen.
Which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
That's right.
Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Okay, now, now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 29 and 29 for confirmation. I'm here for confirmation only, not doctrine. All right? Twenty-nine.
Deuteronomy
Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law.
Okay, now, we had no idea or didn't know anything about the grace of God. And nobody, no man knew anything about it, and not even Satan himself. And this was a secret from God from eternity, and he gave it to the Apostle Paul. Amen? And so, as far as the grace message, we knew nothing about it. Okay, Paul was given the mission as an apostle to the Gentiles. Let's go to Acts 9:15 and Romans 11:15. Acts 9:15.
Acts chapter 9, 15th verse. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel.
Okay, and verse 11:15. Let's see. Romans 11:15.
Romans chapter 11, verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?
Amen. So Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. Jesus and his apostles preached to the people of Israel. Jesus and his disciples preached to the nation of Israel, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, that was their message. Okay, and the whole idea was for Israel to repent. And if they did not, if they would have repented, the kingdom would have came in. But they didn't repent. Okay, so Israel today has not been put away. It's just that he's dealing with the church now, and they've been set aside,
yes.
But he's going to come back and finish up the work with them.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, there were exceptions, of course, that in the Old Testament and some of the New Testament that Gentiles were spoken to. In the Old Testament, of course, there was some people that were spoken to. But for the most part, The message was to the Jewish people. Okay, in Matthew, a very familiar passage of Scripture, Elder Lerman has been over it, and I've been over it, and Deacon Gavin has been over it, but his message was to the Jews. The 10th chapter, please, of Matthew. Matthew 10. Matthew 10. And Deke, I want you to pull in there at 5 and 6, please. All right, go ahead.
Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 and 6. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
That was a message to go to the Israelites. He was not to go to anybody else. And now I'm going to give you some scriptures. We won't be going to it. If you got your notebook, you can write them down. Matthew 15:24. John 12:20-24, Acts 2 and 5, where Peter speaks to them, ye nation, people of the nation of Israel. Acts 2:36, Acts 2:22, Acts 3:12, and Acts 4:19. Their ministry was to the Jewish people, the kingdom message, and the kingdom. We'll get to what that's about in just a second. After Jesus' ascension into heaven, Peter preached Jesus was the Messiah, and that they should repent and be baptized in water. Okay, and that was Acts 2:38. And if they did all this, then the kingdom would return. All right. The 12 apostles were a kingdom law and zealously followed it all their lives. But Paul told his disciples, and here's the difference, that they were not under the law. Right. Romans 6:14. Okay? From Abraham in the Old Testament ministry to Christ, the new early first chapter to the early chapters of the book of Acts, what we have here is that Israel was the primary focus for the message that was given out. Now there were some examples. There were some exceptions. In the Old Testament, God dealt with Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, Balaam, and some other people. But for the most part, the message was to the nation of Israel. And of course, that was Jonah, and where the Israelite, the Ninevites got saved, and some of the other people. And Cornelius, Peter spoke to him. But for the most part, the message was to the Israelites. Now, what is the difference here? I want to say this then before we're going to go into another level here. Turn with me, please, to the book of John 11:27. John 11:27. You remember when Lazarus had passed, and we see here that all right, in 11:27, she says what? She read it, Dee.
Reading from the book of John, the 11th chapter and the 27th verse. And she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world.
Amen. Okay, that registered with them, and it's him being the Messiah. And that was what they looked to as far as salvation, the Messiah. They were looking for the Messiah. When you're dealing with Israel, you got to think of three things. They were dealing with a land, a kingdom, and a king.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what they were looking at.
Absolutely.
Okay, that was it. And they're still looking for them. Okay? And so it's the land, of course, is with the Palestinian covenant.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, the kingdom is that the Israelites would have their own kingdom. And then, of course, the king, of course, would be the Messiah. Okay, now, Paul's ministry, let's take a look at Paul's ministry, because that's what we want to take a look at. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 and 11. Let's deep it up, crank it up a little bit now. All right. That message was good, but this is for now. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. The Gentiles had no dealings with the Jews back in the times. They were considered dogs. And just to think of yourself, When you came in, you came in and you worship on the outer extremities.
Right.
And then not only that, you were considered less than a Jew, and you were proselyte, and you had to learn and from a distance. You were not to intermingle or be in with those Jewish people. You had to be segregated. All right? Now, let's take a look at now John 1:15. What does he say here? Same chapter. Thou knowest that all they... Wait, let's see. 2 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying that worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners whom I am chief. Okay? Now, what God does, you know, what man can like do, we think that, well, we'll do it this way and this, but God lets you know that my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. What he does is he takes a Sanhedrin Pharisee Hebrew, and then he gives him the methods and the methodology, and he takes him on a desert for 3 years, and then what he does is he gives them the revelation of the grace message. Okay, he didn't tell them about the law or anything like that. He took somebody who was totally foreign to Gentiles, and he said, "I'm going to use him as my apostle to the Gentiles," and he has him out there for 3 years. By revelation, teaching them the things of the concept of grace. And then he lets him know one important thing for us is, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Because what? The law was a works economy. Okay? And so what he does is, I'm going to show you what we're going to take. I'm saving you. I'm taking you away from all of the things that you consider important. And I'm going to give you something that's foreign to you. It's but by grace. You saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Okay? I'm giving you something that you don't even know anything about, but you're going to take that to the Gentiles, and you're going to let them know that they have an avenue with me, because I'm giving you the message, and it's going to be a whole dispensation, and it's going to be entirely different. Amen? All right. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. Read that for me, Dean.
From the King James Version, Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Amen. Amen. And now, I'll be fair to Peter and John, because near the end of their lives, they did preach about the cleansing blood, but it was after a while, after a period of time. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. I'm not going to spend much time here, but I do want to say that they did at the end of their lives. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. Chapter 1.
First Peter, chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied.
Read that in the Greek for me too, please.
And verse 3, blessed be...
No, 2 and 3.
Okay. Blessed be the... All right, let's go to 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2, interlinear Greek text. According to foreknowledge of God Father, in sanctification of spirit to obedience and sprinkling of blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace may it be multiplied. Verse 3, blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the one according to the much of him mercy, having regenerated us to hope a living through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Okay, and first John 1 and 7, then that's going to be it for them. Yeah, you can do it.
First John chapter 1, verse 7, interlinear Greek text. If but in the light we walk, as he is in the light, fellowship we have with each other, and the blood of Jesus, the Son of him, cleanses us from all sin.
Now, I'm going to be fair here. I'm not going to give some scriptures that you can look up. 1 Peter 18 through 21, 2:24, when you're on your own, and 5 and 12, and 1 John 2 and 2. Okay, now why is it we say that the grace message is so much more filling and so much more relevant and so much more that we can identify with, that we get into a, it's almost like when you get into the grace message and you really understand it, and you study it and you study it, you get a warm, fuzzy feeling. I know that sounds kind of Sesame Street, but you know, it's happiness is a good grace message. It just make you all warm and fuzzy, and you just feel like you're just in the arms of the Savior. And you know why that is? Because God takes it upon giving through the Apostle Paul. He tells us about election, about him choosing us before the foundation of the world, and where he, none of us had anything worth saving, none of us. Mm-hmm. But he saved Pastor Cutler and Ill Living and myself, all before, and all of you, before the foundation of the world, and he saved us. And that makes you feel so humble. It makes you feel like you just that you are just a. It just makes you feel all warm and fuzzy, you know. And then not only that, he gives us the doctrine of imputation, and then he tells us about sanctification, and let us know it's not works, but you know, and his holiness, what he's done. He set us aside because we're special to him, and then. He just tells us about reconciliation and justification, and he just tells us all of those things that God has given him for us. And when you read and you understand the grace message, you can't help but feel like that God, that you are special to God.
Right.
I mean, that there's something that's just, that there's, there are no words. Like Paul was caught up into the third heaven, I can't really express in words what all of these doctrines mean to me. But I know they make me feel warm and fuzzy. They make me feel like I'm special to the cause of God because I had nothing to do with it. Yeah, it was just that he saved me before the foundation of the world, and he placed me into his body and made me a part of him. And so he lets us know that there's that it didn't have to be that way, because there are the non-elect. Okay? But he elected to save me and all of my brethren that who are in Christ. And he lets us know that there is a total depravity of man where you weren't worth saving. None of us were. Not a one of us. Not a one. I know you see people go down. You go down to the Eastern Market sometime, and you see people down there, and they're picking through the vegetables, and because the ones are strong away, and they'll pick through, and they'll come out there. They get a nice little helping and everything, but most of them they just throw away. But the ones that they get's not worth getting. None of us was worth it. Not a one of us was worth saving. Not a one of us. Now, you can brag and you can stick your chest out and everything. I haven't done this or done that. And you know what? Whatever was in Garrido for kidnapping that girl for 18 years, the same thing is in you. It's just that God vetoed it. Amen. You know better than him. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So no need of sticking your chest out and thinking you're so great and you got so much going for you, because you're just like everybody else. You're a sinner, saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. You're just so pitiful that God had to give you the infusion of faith to be saved. All right. You have nothing going for you. And you're nothing without God, but with God, you're everything. Amen? So, as children, then we are what? He adopted us where we are what? Now, children of God and what? Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And he said, well, I'm going to do something even more for you. He's going to, what? Give us his nature. Amen? And then what? We'll be in his body. Wherever Jesus is throughout all eternity, that's where we will be. Now, that's great. And you're going to judge angels, judge the world, and all of that, you getting for him, from him, and you did nothing to get it. You didn't tarry. You weren't baptized in his name, because the baptism took place in eternity. Amen? So everything we got is because of what Jesus has done for us. Everything. You can't do anything without the Lord. Amen? And all of this flip-flack that you go through on your job and everything and all things, we think it's the Bible tells us, but for a moment. You know, old man was speaking one time, and preacher was went around. Well, what's your favorite verse? Got around to an old itinerant African-American, and he had been visiting more churches and staying in. And so he said, well, Reverend, I guess the only thing I can say is, and it came to pass. Well, he said, why you say that? He said, well, from what I can understand, and I don't understand much of the Bible, and that's this, whatever Job, whatever Jesus, whatever anybody went through in that Bible, the Bible said, it came to pass. And that's right. Nothing in this life is for staying. Everything is temporary. It comes to pass. And there's a purpose for God giving you what he has. Don't look at the problem, but what is the purpose of the problem that he's given to me? That's what you got to look at. Because the Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. It doesn't matter who you are. We all go through this thing the same way. And don't get caught up in this life where you're looking at, well, if I just had this or that, it all comes to pass. Everything comes to pass. There is nothing in this life, in the time capsule, that you're going to carry out here with you. Remember, wear this life like a loose garment. Love the Lord, cherish Him, and study. And then, you know what? We have, in the ministry, have done a bad job because we don't emphasize that. We emphasize, it's almost like we made the Bible a fairy tale. The Bible says, study to show thyself an approved workman for God. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if you're going to be involved in that and you want to be in the kingdom ministry and everything and you look at that, you got to remember one thing, that if you're going to be in the kingdom ministry, you got to keep the law. The kingdom ministry is the law. It's kingdom law. Now, if you're going to take part of it, then you got to remember what happens is when it comes to as far as the kingdom law is concerned. First of all, you're under the law. And I don't know why you'd want to be under there because you couldn't keep it. Amen? And then, we all talk about, well, it must be, you know what, we have all these ideas in our mind. And what we think take out of time, well, it's going to be so wonderful and so beautiful, the king being in the kingdom and everything. Yes, it is. But it's law. And it's going to be a direct rule by Jesus Christ. It's direct rule over the earth. Psalms 2. I'm just going to go through this a little bit fast here. Peace on earth, yes, it will be. Psalm 98, verse 9. Yes, it will be. Yes, it will be. All right? Every man is accountable for his deeds. Yes, he will be. Amen? Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4. And the curse will be removed. Yes? Romans 8, Revelation 22 and 3. Yes, that's true. The Messiah will return. The glory of the Lord will be set up. Yes. Matthew 16:27, Isaiah 4 and 5. Okay, but here's the kicker right here. Everything in this world is going to be dictated and run by Jesus Christ. You got people now, well, we got our constitution, we got our rights. You won't have any rights during the kingdom. There will be no international rights, no national rights, no state's rights, or no city rights or anything. Whatever is dictated from it's going to be a theocracy that is going to be, and he's going to rule with an iron hand, which means that you don't have any choice. Whatever's dictated, that's what you're going to do. Yes, that's fine if you want it, but I would rather be in the arms of Jesus. I would rather be in the body of Jesus than to be here on earth, and you're not going to be any priest here. And it's going to be the judges ruling like it was in the old days. You understand what I'm trying to say is, study this so you'll know what you say you want this, you want this and that, study it. And the prophet says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We have these ideas. You ever seen something? Well, and we'll read something fast, and we say we think it's one way or one thing, but then when we get down to the fine print, it's not like that at all. Well, that's how it is with ours. Read the fine print. I'm going on. You're not with me. Amen.
Bring it on. Bring it on.
Amen. It'll be human self-determination will end. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Paul lets us know that. False dreams and illusions will end. Well, I just had a dream that we won't have that. Jeremiah 10 and 10. We won't be going by that. We won't be going by that. It's going to be a theocracy. You know what that means, don't you? That's a dictatorship. By God. Well, we don't want a dictatorship. Well, that's what you're going to have. It's going to be a dictatorship. Okay? And Israel is going to be the only nation in the entity to survive. Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse 19. A and they will be ruled by judges again. Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. Okay, and the sacrifices will be reinstated. Let you know that in Ezekiel. Okay, and I wish that we could have. I'm praying to the pastor and all of my ministerial people. I pray to God that we will have Bible classes in here going 8 or 10 hours a day. I would love to see where I could just get people into the Word of God, where it just come in and wash me and cleanse me, and I know so much about the Word that when it's time for me to go home, I can just say, Elder Cutler, I'll see you. Close my eyes and I'm going on home. I wish that we could get to the point where not only African Americans, but everybody who's a Christian, where they study and just eat the Word so that it's like bread and water to their system. You would have, that would save a lot of your problems. Because what you think on your salvation is how you act out here in life. If you could get the Word of God in you and stop having an excuse for not studying, but find every way you can to study. And I missed my Bible class Friday, and I told my wife, I said, it really burned me up. I said, okay, from now on, since we're in this car situation, if I have to go to Bible class at 4 o'clock and doesn't start until 7 o'clock, I will be there studying. I'm not going to miss Bible class again because of little happenstances, because of the car or a situation like that. If I have to come 3 hours early, I'm coming so I can study God's Word. I want to be committed to the point where people know what I stand for. Would to God we would just take what the Bible says. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I pray to God that he's praying that our church get it. But you know something? I would like for us to get it and eat it like we did chillings back in the day when we had nothing else to eat. Just gobble it all up. I'm being facetious, but the thing is, I'm trying to get... Well, we put a very little premium on God's Word. Now, they opened up a $1 billion stadium in Dallas today. There will be 100,000 people down there cheering on the Dallas Cowboys. You got to be out of your mind to go to a $1 billion stadium. No, it's $1.3 billion. And watch some football team playing that has no good for you at all. And you be sitting there and everybody be drinking the beer and doing everything else. It is crazy. Where are our priorities? We can't care nothing about the Word of God at all. You beg people to come out to Bible class and study it, and pastor didn't say nothing to me about that. I'm saying it myself. You ask people to come out, well, they got everything to do but study God's Word. It is crazy. And look like to me, with the times the way they are now, look like people would get more interested in God's Word. Jesus, 28, Matthew, 28. A very familiar passage of Scripture. 28th chapter. It was 15th, 18 through 20, to 20. 20. 18 to 20.
Reading from the book of Matthew, the 28th chapter, beginning the 18th verse. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Amen.
They've taken that and said, that's the Great Commission. First of all, I don't see where it says Great Commission. He's talking to the Jews, and those Jews went to Jews. They didn't go to the Gentiles. It was the apostles. The apostle Paul went to the Gentiles. Those Jews in that ministry they went to, if you read the book of Acts and everything, their whole focus was on the Jewish people. They did not go to the Gentiles. And when they did go to the Gentiles, they caught a lot of flack about it. Okay? But what is our commission? Okay? But what is our commission? Well, I'll tell you what our great commission is. And let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses. And we're going to read it. 2 Corinthians, this is our commission. This is our great commission. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I remember that little thing that we had asked the pastor, and I pray to God we'll have another one of those again because what I would like to see us do is if we could, if I had to do it myself, try to get some public spots on radio. And have people come out here for Ask the Pastor, and just try to saturate these people with, because people got a lot of questions, but they're too afraid to ask. You know what that means, don't you? They're chicken. But for everyone who's got a question, three or four more get the same question. They just want to ask. What is our commission? What is the Grace Commission? We have a commission also. But it's entirely different. It's not going out. That Great Commission that they have, it's not going out. That great commission that they had was to go out and teach them the law. What Jesus taught, didn't Jesus teach them the law? He taught them kingdom law. That's not your commission. So if you're going to go out and do the great commission, you're going out and teach them what Jesus taught, didn't Jesus teach them the law? He taught them kingdom law. That's not your commission. So if you're gonna go out and do the great commission, that's not your commission. So if you're gonna go out and do the great commission, you're going out and teach them kingdom law. Isn't that what he said? Second Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21 through 21. And this is our great commission. Chapter 5.
We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at the 14th verse through 21st. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then were all dead.
Right. Go go ahead.
And that he died for all that they which live should not henceforth he died. And that he died for all that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them, and rose again.
Isn't that what we just said? Go ahead.
Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh.
All this stuff about racism, all this, what are you talking about? Who won't know any man after the flesh? When this goes, racism goes. When this goes, all kinds of barriers for being harmonious will go. Okay? We are spirit, okay? We are spirit, soul, and body. But the man on the inside here, that's the man that God is going to be dealing with. The spirit man. And all this stuff out here has got to go. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to be destroyed. Won't be going through all this again. And I'll be glad when it does, because it's just killing. And you expect that from heathen, but Christians ought to love one another.
Amen.
But Christians ought to love one another.
Amen.
Christians ought to love one another.
Amen.
We ought to love one another. Go ahead.
Though we have known Christ.
Go ahead.
Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Hold it. In the Greek, it says, he is a new creation. Okay. Old things are passed away. All of this stuff that we're carrying on the inside. That's why this old body's got to go. That's why this old body's got to go. It's got to go. Because all it harbors is incest, immorality, and if there's too many sins, it's got to go. Because all it harbors is incest.